Brian Helsworth here at Missouri Net. I'm recording our interview right now in the Dairy Brownfield studio. It's January the 11th, and as I record this, I'm joined by State Representative Jay Eggleston. He and I are both trying to record this, get out of town here before the ice storm hits that we're expecting today. Obviously, you've got that on your mind, but sir, you and your wife are both sometime next week scheduled to have surgery involving kidneys. What can you tell us?
So my wife, Kathy, has been diagnosed with kidney disease. We've known about it for about a year and a half. And initially when we heard about it, her kidney function was down to 20%. And that explained a lot of the fatigue that she was having and other symptoms that she was having. And doctors had said that over time, it'll just get a little worse. The little filtering cells in her kidneys, 80% of them have essentially died or gone dormant. What typically happens is that continues. By the time it hits 15%, most people feel so rotten that they then go on dialysis. There's a couple of different ways of that dialysis can be done, but the way that was going to be recommended for her, she would be hooked up to a machine for about 9 hours a day, every day for the rest of her life to filter her blood for her. But dialysis is not a replacement for bad kidneys. It just extends life some. The statistics are most people last about 5 years on dialysis, 3 to 7, depending on other health factors. And so she would be destined for that. The only real cure is a kidney replacement, kidney transplant. So we're ready for to be put on the list for that. You really don't get on the list until dialysis starts. And what we've learned is that the waiting list in the Midwest is about 2 to 3 years before you can get a kidney. East Coast and West Coast people typically wait 5 to 6 years. I don't know if that's because they have more disease out there or there's just fewer people out there willing to do kidney donation or organ donation. But those are the stats, and unfortunately a lot of people pass away waiting for their turn on the list to come. I'm told about 18,000 kidney replacements are done each year, 12,000 through deceased kidneys where folks have elected to be an organ donor when they went to the DMV. And I would certainly encourage everyone to give serious consideration to that. Your last act could be saving the lives of another person or maybe many other people if you do that. The other 6,000 are live donations, people who decide that they care about their loved one or their friend, their relative enough that they're willing to give a kidney to help save them. But you have to be compatible to do that. Sure. Not only blood type, but blood chemistry. Turns out that Kathy and I, while we have the same blood type, we did not have the same chemistry. We've learned that every time a lady gets pregnant, then her blood chemistry changes a little bit. Kathy's been pregnant 4 times. We have 2 kids, but prior to that, she endured an ectopic pregnancy. A little later, also a miscarriage. So she's been through a lot, and all of that has changed her blood chemistry where we weren't compatible. Doctors then told us about something called the Kidney Paired Donation Program, KPD. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it brings greater opportunity for those live donations. Live donations tend to last longer and have less rejection opportunity. So what KPD is it takes our information, our blood information, puts it in a database, and they use that to compare to other pairs who are like us, who would like to give to each other but aren't a match, and try to find a way to match us up with another pair in a similar situation so we can trade kidneys. We recently got word that we can be, if everything goes according to plan, part of a 3-way kidney trade. So if all goes according to plan, next Wednesday I will have a kidney removed. It will be put into the medical equivalent of an igloo cooler and put on ice and ran to the airport, and they're going to fly it up to Michigan and use it to save somebody up there. That Michigan recipient has a donor friend who at the same time that I'm going in will be going in Michigan, have their kidney removed, flown somewhere else in America, we don't know where, and then that person has a donor who will be donating to Kathy. all of those recipients will then go in. I'm supposed to go in about 6 in the morning. She will be going in probably about 2 in the afternoon that same day. And so these 6 surgeries are going to get coordinated to hopefully save 3 people's lives.
The story is absolutely powerful. You and your wife have obviously been through a lot. But as you told me when you brought this up to me, this program, this KPD, kidney paired donation, I'd never even heard of that until you brought it up to me.
Well, and I'd never heard of it either until we got into the situation that we're in. But it is designed because there is such a need. As I said, there's about 18,000 transplants done a year, but I'm told there's over 100,000 people on the list. Mm-hmm. And so we need to do something to raise awareness and improve the ways that we make kidneys available. And this kidney pair donation program seems to do that, give some opportunities where there wouldn't be opportunities otherwise.
2 quick questions here. You mentioned you're praying, obviously, you're healthy enough to donate a kidney. Huge issue, though. It's a huge issue, obviously, for your family. You're talking about that, and you're talking about your wife. You're talking about both of you being in surgery. And then you're going to be missing time away from the Capitol because you're going to be literally in surgery. You'll be out for a while.
The plan is I will be out for probably about 2 to 3 weeks. Both Kathy and I are expected to spend 2 or 3 days in the hospital after the surgery, and then we will stay at my son's house, who is not too far from the hospital. The hospital doesn't want you to get too far away unless, sure, in case there's complications, and my hometown is well over an hour's drive from the hospital. But if we make it through then that week, then she will go home. Her sister will help take care of her, and I will be back at the Capitol. And that'll be either 2 to 3 weeks, end of January, first part of February. In the meantime, though, I plan as much as I can to be paying attention to what's going on, stay in contact with my staff and the other members through texting and emailing. I'll be able to listen to sessions over the internet and kind of stay engaged that way. I've had a couple of other reps who have volunteered to handle some of my bills for me in my absence, and I'm very grateful for their help. So I don't think we're going to be able to miss out on doing a lot of work. The work's right. Still going to get done.
Sure.
And then I'll be back and finish up the session at least beginning of February.
Well, and you got a lot of support there, obviously, on in your area and both sides of the aisle, and trying to get things done. Final question, obviously, we talked about the legislature, and you'll be gone, but you'll be staying in touch and obviously hoping to recuperate. How do you feel going into it? How's your wife feeling? And I have to ask, are you nervous at all? I mean, this is major surgery you're talking about.
Well, this isn't something that happens every day, right. So yes, I'm a little nervous. But they've really got this down to a science. They've said that in 99.96% of the operations, everything goes fine. There's always a little risk, mm-hmm. but it's very minimal. So that's not a reason to not donate, especially when you love the person you're donating to. They've also let us know that any recipient is the recipient's insurance is what pays for the donor's medical bills. So if somebody is thinking maybe they don't want to donate because of the cost, that cost is covered by the recipient's insurance. And if there's any other ancillary costs like time off of work or travel, there are charities set up to help cover that. So we're set that way. We're excited. Yes, I'm a little nervous because it's not every day you have an organ removed.
Sure.
But I'm also kind of excited and proud to be part of maybe helping save 3 people's lives in the process.
One final point I'll add. You're wearing, as I record this interview, you're wearing a little lapel. You've got your house member. You got your American flag. Donate life. It's very important to you.
Sure. Last year there was a bill that Representative Love from St. Clair, Representative Cookson from Ripley, championed about organ donation awareness. Mm-hmm. Of course, I knew what was going on with Kathy and I at the time, but nobody else did. And it was, I didn't say anything at the time because they really said everything that needed to be said so well. But yes, the organ donation really does save lives, and I hope more people look into doing it.
Anything you'd like to add?
The only other thing people might be interested to learn that I learned is that when someone gets a kidney donation, they don't actually get a transplant. They're not replacing a kidney. They're actually getting a kidney added.
Wow.
The old kidneys still have some amount of function,
sure.
And there may be more complication to try to replace one than to just add one in. So when this is all said and done, I'm going to have one kidney, and Kathy's going to have three.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yep.
You learn something every day. Obviously, it's a difficult issue. I appreciate you coming in to talk to me about it ahead of time. We wish you all the best, and we'll keep you and your wife in our thoughts and prayers.
And please pray for the other recipients as well. We want this to all go well so their health is improved. Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You much, Brian.
Absolutely. Agree with that completely. Representative Jay Eggleston.